Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for checking out this podcast from Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. There are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows. They're available online on myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.
It's a big world.
Oh, wow! It's so bright.
And it's full of small businesses.
Isn't getting discounts great?
Yes!
Yeah, I got carried away.
Risk. Reward. Opportunity, responsibility. Small business drives our economy. And finally, there's a show talking about it. Think you can be your own boss? Stick around. You'll find out.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Here's Austin Hill.
This is the place where small business owners and independent workers come to talk every weekend. I am Austin Hill. Welcome to the Big World of Small Business. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Take down our number and join us, 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We are open for business with your questions and comments about small business ownership, being an independent worker, making a living. This is where we try to see these issues of the economy and jobs and making a living and see them through the lenses of our Christian faith, through the lenses of Scripture. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Now, I'm open for business with your questions and comments. My question for you in this episode of our program is simply this. Does it bother you that some people make more money than you? Does it bother you, let me say it slowly, and this may seem kind of weird, and your initial reaction may be to say, of course not, it doesn't bother me. Does it bother you? Are you a little bit disturbed that some people make more money than you, or maybe they don't even have to work anymore, maybe they're just independently wealthy? Do some people have more money than you? I mean, clearly, I mean, there's the poorest of the poor, there's the richest of the rich, and everything in between here in our American society, in our American economy, right? And by the way, that's the fact that there is a middle class, there are people in between the extreme rich and the extreme poor. That's a good thing, by the way, just so you know. I'll put that more into historical context. But we had some interesting things that developed across our country over the last week that I'll tell you about here in a moment, having to do with, quote-unquote, income inequality. And the I word, inequality, is almost just kind of universally accepted as a bit of a curse word in our broader secular culture. But even within the context of the church at times, I hear a lot of discussions about income inequality. And you talk about inequality as though it necessarily means that somebody else did something bad and that we need our government to step in and fix the income inequality. But I'm asking just kind of a generalized philosophical question here. Answer this however you see fit. Does it bother you that some people have more money than you? 877-933-2484. That's our number. And as I said, we're open for business with your questions and comments about small business ownership, being an independent worker, entrepreneurship, finding work, even if you can't get a job, all those kinds of things. We see these issues through the lenses of scriptural truth, through the lenses of our Christian faith. Coming up later in this episode, and I'm really looking forward to this, there's actually some really cool developments on the front of what I like to call the freelance service industry. The freelance service businesses industry. Things like Airbnb.com. You've probably heard a little bit about that. Uber.com, Lyft.com, TaskRabbit.com. It's all these .coms, these web-based enterprises out there online that enable you, if you're willing to work and provide a service, to get connected with people who need your service, want your service, and are willing to pay for it. But it has there's a lot of ambitious people in our country that have taken to the freelance services industries, and it's a good thing. It's a very positive development. It is not without problems. But it's a very positive thing. I have said this before here on this program, and I really do believe this. The sooner that pastors and youth pastors and folks in churches can understand the freelance services industry, the better off we all will be, because it's putting putting people back to work. It's making people productive again in ways that the job market simply is not. But we'll talk about that a little bit later this hour. And also some tips on putting together a business plan, some things to do. If you are at that point where you're saying, I want to build a business, I'm going to launch, I want to go out and ask people to invest in my company and start up my own business, some things to prayerfully consider before you do that. We'll get to that coming up later this hour as well. 877-933-2484 is our number. Now, on the issue of income inequality, we had a speech delivered earlier this week by a lady named Janet Yellen. Janet Yellen, you should, if you're not familiar with her, I certainly recommend that you get acquainted with her. Janet Yellen is the first woman ever to occupy the position that she does. She is an American economist, and she also serves as the head of the Federal Reserve, the U.S. Federal Reserve, our U.S. government's central banking system. And she comments, I think twice every year, actually, she goes before the United States Congress, the House of Representatives, and the Senate separately, and goes before the finance committees in those two legislative chambers. And she says, here's kind of the state of the economy. Here's what we see. Here's our expert opinion on the state of the economy and people's ability to work and make a living and all those important things. And here's kind of the way we think our Federal Reserve, our central banking system, needs to respond to people's needs. Well, she didn't do one of those speeches. She was delivering an outside speech to an outside organization over the weekend, over the course of last week. And she said some things that have just had ripple effects all across the country, at least in the financial news media. And I've seen some Christian news media publications pick up on this. But she said, in essence, that and this probably is not a huge shocker to you. You probably have felt this and experienced it and sensed this for some time. But she said that income inequality has gotten worse, not better, over the last several years. The gap between the best, most well-heeled individuals, the wealthy 1%, if you want to call it that, the gap between them and all the rest of us has actually gotten worse over the years. Now, I want to suggest to you, I'm going to play to you some couple of audio clips, some sound bites from Ms. Yellen in her speech. I want to suggest to you that I think Christians in particular, I think we need to understand these things better than our dominant culture does. Because you need only say the word inequality. Oh, my gosh, there's something unequal between persons. And we immediately think, we immediately assume that there's some grave sin that has occurred. If you've ever seen or heard of my book before, I co-authored a book back about 4 years ago about economics. It's sort of a biblical view of economics. It's called Don't Choke on This Title Here. I understand some Christians think the C word is another curse word, and it's not. The book is called The Virtues of Capitalism, A Moral Case for Free Markets. And it kind of traces the history of the economics dating back to early Jewish society in the Old Testament, the economy as it existed back in the beginnings of the church and the ancient Roman Empire, looks at those kinds of things and gleans biblical wisdom for our economy today. That's what my co-author and I did with that book. But one of the issues we addressed in the book was income inequality. And I made the case, I've said this many times before, I've said, you know what, me and Steve Nash, you know who Steve Nash is, the NBA player? Steve Nash and I, we just have terrible inequality in between each other. He has hundreds of millions of dollars of wealth, and I don't. Steve Nash has this amazing ability to run really fast, jump really high, shoot a basketball into a basket with enormous accuracy, and no matter how hard I try, no matter how much I practice, we will always be unequal. I will never, never play basketball the way Steve Nash does. Now, the fact is, Steve Nash will probably never host talk radio the way I do. He will probably never write books and speak the way I do. We are gifted and made very differently. This is to say that even as God has created the world, yes, we know theologically the world is tainted by sin and human imperfection and flaw, but even as the world has been created, there is inequality or unequalness, if you will, in the created order. And so this notion that somehow everybody should have the same giftedness, everybody should get paid the same amount of money, everybody should have the same amount of income, this is flawed from the get-go if we are to take our Christian faith and our biblical teaching very, very seriously. It is also the case, while Janet Yellen, in fact, Cal, if we could just roll the sound bites here. This is Ms. Yellen, a very well-educated lady. I'm not disparaging her at all, but she kind of speaks in very highly technical language, being, you know, she's a PhD and economist and lives in a very, very technical world and whatnot. I'll try to decipher what she's saying here. This is part one that I have to offer you of her speech about inequality. Roll it, please.
The distribution of income and wealth in the United States has been widening more or less steadily for several decades, to a greater extent than in most advanced countries.
Okay, and that is soundbite one. She's kind of popping her peas and sort of exploding air into the microphone there. Oh, hence the distortion. Anyway, the distribution of wealth has been widening for several decades, worse here in the U.S. than it has been in advanced countries or other advanced countries. That's not quite the case. The fact is that the U.S. economy has produced wealth and wealthy people like no other civilization, no other society in world history has. It has also brought more people out of poverty than we ever thought was possible. As a matter of fact, American style, believe it or not, whether Ms. Yellen wants to admit this or not, or whether she believes it or not, you look at the statistics, free markets and, yes, capitalism have pulled more people out of poverty in not only North America, in the United States, and in Canada, but on the continent of Asia, in Latin America, in India. I mean, as these other parts of the world have adopted what historically, not so much now, but what historically has been our approach to business and the economy, even the poorest of the poor have been pulled out of poverty like we've never seen before. But that's how Janet Yellen started her speech on income inequality. Now here's part two. Go ahead and roll it, Cal.
This trend paused during the Great Recession because of larger wealth losses for those at the top of the distribution and because increased safety net spending helped offset some income losses for those below the top. But widening inequality resumed in the recovery as the stock market rebounded, wage growth and the healing of the labor market have been slow, and the increase in home prices has not fully restored the housing wealth lost by the large majority of households for which it's their primary asset.
Okay, how disturbing is that? Let me count the ways. Let's get one thing straight on the housing market. Prices were inflated. They were artificially pumped up last decade, and I was a part of that. I had a couple of houses that price went way, way up and then crashed real painfully. A lot of that was kind of artificial because of ridiculously and artificially cheap credit last decade, but that's a separate thing here. This notion, I mean, from the get-go, Ms. Yellen's starting point is that the really rich people in our society have done very well in the last 5-6 years or so, and those who aren't really, really rich, they're doing worse. Now, how could that be? How can that be? We have all at the same time all the conventional solutions, and listen, a lot of Christians believe these conventional solutions as well. All the conventional approaches to quote unquote solving inequality are really, they're kicked into high gear. The consumption of Medicaid and food stamps is at an all-time high right now. Those are federal government welfare programs that are supposed to pull people out of poverty and help them when they can't help themselves. The rate at which people are working for a living in America is at an all-time low. Imagine that. We've got lots of welfare funds going out of the bank, and those are our tax dollars at work, or more accurately, that's debt for our kids and grandkids to pay somewhere down the line, and they will pay brutally. Don't fool yourself. We've got more money going out the door in terms of checks for health care, food, housing, those kinds of things from our government. People are working less and less in the United States of America. We have more federal tax dollars being funneled into the stock market. through bond purchases and all kinds of tricks that the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department pay. And here this lady who sits atop the Federal Reserve is saying, the real upper crust, 1% richest in America, are doing good, but the people beneath that aren't doing well. What has happened? And do you accept this notion right from the get-go that income inequality is our greatest sin in our culture, and this is just a terrible thing, and it's just unfair if somebody has more money than you? That's really what it comes down to when we banter around this this notion about income inequality. But let's talk when we come back. It's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We'll get your calls on the way next. Where do you come in on this? As a thoughtful Christian, are you concerned that another person has more money than you? When you pose the question that way, which is really what all this talk about inequality comes down to, when you pose the question that way, it probably kind of sounds like petty jealousy and envy, things that the scriptures warn us against. But it may very well be that these things that the scripture warns us against are animating our economic policy in America. What do you think? 877-933-2484. Quick break for your calls on the way. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
This is the place where entrepreneurial minds meet. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Probably never host talk radio the way I do. He will probably never write books and speak the way I do. We are gifted and made very differently. This is to say that even as God has created the world, yes, we know theologically the world is tainted by sin and human imperfection and flaw, but even as the world has been created, there is inequality or unequalness, if you will, in the created order. And so this notion that somehow everybody should have the same giftedness, everybody should get paid the same amount of money, everybody should have the same amount of income, this is flawed from the get-go if we are to take our Christian faith and our biblical teaching very, very seriously. It is also the case, while Janet Yellen, in fact, Cal, if we could just roll the sound bites here, this is Ms. Yellen, a very well-educated lady. I'm not disparaging her at all, but she kind of speaks in very highly technical language, being, you know, she's a PhD and economist and lives in a very, very technical world and whatnot. I'll try to decipher what she's saying here. This is part one that I have to offer you of her speech about inequality. Roll it, please.
The distribution of income and wealth in the United States has been widening more or less steadily for several decades, to a greater extent than in most advanced countries.
Okay, and that is soundbite one. She's kind of popping her peas and sort of exploding air into the microphone there. So, hence the distortion. Anyway, the distribution of wealth has been widening for several decades, worse here in the U.S. than it has been in advanced countries or other advanced countries. That's not quite the case. The fact is that the U.S. economy has produced wealth and wealthy people like no other civilization, no other society in world history has. It has also brought more people out of poverty than we ever thought was possible. As a matter of fact, American style, believe it or not, whether Ms. Yellen wants to admit this or not, or whether she believes it or not, you look at the statistics, free markets and, yes, capitalism have pulled more people out of poverty in not only North America, in the United States, and in Canada, but on the continent of Asia, in Latin America, in India. I mean, as these other parts of the world have adopted what historically, not so much now, but what historically has been our approach to business and the economy, even the poorest of the poor have been pulled out of poverty like we've never seen before. That's how Janet Yellen started her speech on income inequality. Now here's part two. Go ahead and roll it, Cal.
This trend paused during the Great Recession because of larger wealth losses for those at the top of the distribution and because increased safety net spending helped offset some income losses for those below the top. But widening inequality resumed in the recovery as the stock market rebounded, wage growth and the healing of the labor market have been slow, and the increase in home prices has not fully restored the housing wealth lost by the large majority of households for which it's their primary asset.
Okay, how disturbing is that? Let me count the ways. Let's get one thing straight on the housing market. Prices were inflated. They were artificially pumped up last decade, and I was a part of that. I had a couple of houses that price went way, way up and then crashed real painfully. A lot of that was kind of artificial because of ridiculously and artificially cheap credits last decade, but that's a separate thing here. This notion, I mean, from the get-go, Ms. Yellen's starting point is that the really rich people in our society have done very well in the last 5-6 years or so, and those who aren't really, really rich, they're doing worse. Now, how could that be? How can that be? We have all at the same time, all the conventional solutions, and listen, a lot of Christians believe these conventional solutions as well, all the conventional approaches to, quote-unquote, solving inequality are really, they're kicked into high gear. The consumption of Medicaid and food stamps is at an all-time high right now. Those are federal government welfare programs that are supposed to pull people out of poverty and help them when they can't help themselves. The rate at which people are working for a living in America is at an all-time low. Imagine that. We've got lots of welfare funds going out of the bank, and those are our tax dollars at work, or more accurately, that's debt for our kids and grandkids to pay somewhere down the line, and they will pay brutally. Don't fool yourself. We've got more money going out the door in terms of checks for health care, food, housing, those kinds of things from our government. People are working less and less in the United States of America. We have more federal tax dollars being funneled into the stock market through bond purchases and all kinds of tricks that the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department pay. And here this lady who sits atop the Federal Reserve is saying the real upper crust, 1% richest in America, are doing good, but the people beneath that aren't doing well. What has happened? And do you accept this notion right from the get-go that income inequality is our greatest sin in our culture, and this is just a terrible thing, and it's just unfair if somebody has more money than you? That's really what it comes down to when we banter around this this notion about income inequality. But let's talk when we come back. It's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We'll get your calls on the way next. Where do you come in on this? As a thoughtful Christian, are you concerned that another person has more money than you? When you pose the question that way, which is really what all this talk about inequality comes down to, when you pose the question that way, it probably kind of sounds like petty jealousy and envy, things that the scriptures warn us against. But it may very well be that these things that the scripture warns us against are animating our economic policy in America. What do you think? 877-933-2484. Quick break for your calls on the way. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
This is the place where entrepreneurial minds meet. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. We're on the road to economic recovery, and we're headed towards your future. Now back to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Thanks for listening. I'm here every weekend at this same time on the affiliate radio stations of the Faith Radio Network. You can find me anytime on our program website, austinsbigworld.com. All kinds of information about starting a business, owning and operating a business, things to consider before you dive into owning and operating a business. Information like that there. You can also find our program audio archived all the time at myfaithradio.com on the Faith Radio Network website, myfaithradio.com. Our number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Are you concerned? Are you bothered that some other people have more money than you? This is seems to be kind of an assumption that undergirds our ideas in our culture about inequality or income inequality. And I believe that as Christians, we are called out, set apart, and called on to see things differently and to understand the human person and God's unique giftedness with each and every individual. I think we need to see those things differently than our prevailing culture. And by the way, I am aware, I don't want to say too much about this, but I am aware that there's been some calls from people who are very angry with me posing this question. And name calling and so forth. And please, I invite you to dialogue about this. If you think this is an inappropriate question, let's have a conversation about it. I understand it's oftentimes easier to just get angry and to name call and maybe even stop listening. I hope you don't do that. But this is a question that is worthy of our attention in the Christian community especially. Are you bothered that other people have more money than you? It's 877-933-2484. Sarah is up next in Madison, listening to us on our Madison affiliate radio station. Sarah, welcome to the program. Hello.
Well, I can tell you that I'm not offended by your question at all, and I'm not offended by other people making more money than I do. I like making money. Money takes effort, and making money takes a lot of effort, but I have enough to do sowing in my own field and praying for a harvest than to be looking down the street at what other people have. Jealousy is a distraction as far as I'm concerned. Today, I think people want the salary of a CEO, but not the late nights, long hours, years of study, eating ramen noodles, taking risks. They don't want that. And that's why they might be in the position that they're in. And I think that, you know, for making money and lots of it and risk is not for everyone. Some people need security, and I respect that.
I do,
but
too.
But also, I want the right to pursue and take my God-given talents as far as God wants them to go.
I'm with you on that. I could not say it better. Sarah, thanks very much for the call. I believe the church has a very important role to play in this, but I believe Christians in the United States of America, really throughout North America, this applies to you if you're listening in Canada as well, although in many ways Canada has set itself as a nation on a much more rational and reasonable trajectory fiscally and economically than the United States is on right now. Way to go, Canada. If you're listening to us in one of the Canadian provinces, please stay the course. We're counting on you. I know historically it's been the exact opposite. You've been counting on us, right? No, we're counting on you to continue to do wise things and make wise choices fiscally and economically right now, because we've lost our way here in the United States in many ways. Listen, I understand, just like Sarah was saying, the safety and security of a job working for somebody else. There is, in many cases, more safety and security in that than there is taking the risk of owning and operating a business. And this thing about entrepreneurship is not for everybody, although, as we have forgotten, what creates an environment where businesses can thrive and jobs can get created, as we've abandoned those principles, and therefore, as a result, job creation is lackluster. More and more often, we need to think in terms of entrepreneurship and being our own business person to keep income coming in. And I believe the church has a role in educating people and assisting people in that effort. We'll continue in moments. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Don't go away.
Talk about job creation? We're creating our own jobs right here. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Thank you for listening. I am here every weekend at this same time on this great radio station that you're listening to, the Affiliates of the Faith Radio Network and others. Find us anytime at myfaithradio.com and find me and further details about business ownership and understanding business and the economy through the lenses of our Christian faith, all that at austinsbigworld.com. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. That's me, our number 877-933-2484. What do you make of this notion that some people have more money than you? A lot of people have more money than me, I can tell you that. And is that bothersome to you? And should it be? We make a lot of, there is a lot made, a lot of concern over the notion of income inequality. And in fact, the head of our U.S. Federal Reserve, Chairwoman Janet Yellen, had much to say about this earlier in the week. And this really does matter. Whether you think it matters or not, it matters to the life of the church, the degree to which our economy and our culture is producing wealth and employing people and allowing them to be productive. It really, really does. I believe that a very secular culture has misdiagnosed the problem, has misdefined or wrongfully defined the economic problems in our culture. Scripturally, I don't see the concern about quote unquote income inequality. Certainly, there is a call on the life of the Christian, especially in the Gospels and especially in the strong writings of the Apostle Paul. There is a call on the life of the Christian to have a care and concern and to take measures to care for the needs of the poor. But that's we're not following that in the United States of America. Jesus calls me, I'll say it this way in a very personal way, Jesus calls me to offer a cup of cool water in his name. Jesus did not say, empower your government to pass laws that raise taxes on rich people and give that money to somebody that the government thinks is deserving of it. In other words, there's no third party involved in the scriptural admonition to care for the poor. It is me. It's God's call on my life. And when I just arbitrarily say, well, you know what? The government will care for the poor people. Guess what? I miss out on the opportunity of transformation when I sit down with a poor person, when I go to the homeless shelter and serve meals, when I get to know that other human being and I have to sacrifice and give of myself to meet their needs. There is something very spiritual and transformative there when I take action to follow Christ's commands. And if you've ever worked in a homeless shelter or in a soup kitchen or whatever it is, if you serve the poor through your church, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know who the greater benefactor is. My son and wife and I, we go and serve meals on a periodic basis at a rescue mission near our home. And I don't know who the greater, I don't know who benefits from it more, me or the poor people that I who are dirty and smelly and for whom I serve food. But that's kind of the basis of economic moral concerns in the scriptures. And from there, we honor people and treat them like human beings, whether they're poor or wealthy. Our culture says, hey, income inequality is bad if real rich people are doing really, really well. Well, you know what? We've got to ratchet them down a bit because their success is coming at the expense of poor people. That's not the way the economy works. But again, our number, 877-933-2484 is our number, 877-933-2484. Again, and Cal, if we could have the soundbite here, this is Janet Yellen speaking about the chairwoman of the Federal Reserve saying that, during the economic downturn, the rich got a little bit richer and lots of government services got doled out to those of us who aren't so rich. But now that the economy has started to grow a little bit, she says the labor market has been healed. I don't think so. But she says now that things have started to improve a little bit, the real rich are doing really, really well and the rest of us aren't doing so well. Part two of Janet Yellen, the chairwoman of the Federal Reserve, earlier this week. Listen again.
This trend paused during the Great Recession because of larger wealth losses for those at the top of the distribution and because increased safety net spending helped offset some income losses for those below the top. But widening inequality resumed in the recovery as the stock market rebounded. Wage growth and the healing of the labor market have been slow, and the increase in home prices has not fully restored the housing wealth lost by the large majority of households for which it's their primary asset.
And if our household, our house, our real estate, residential real estate is our greatest asset, greatest holding for our investment in the future, that's kind of risky territory as far as I'm concerned, just as a sidebar. But again, no disrespect to the chairwoman of our Federal Reserve. She's a well-educated lady. She's a smart lady. And I mean no disrespect here, but I believe Christians in particular, we as followers of Christ have got to wrap our minds around these issues of rich and poor and wealth and how wealth is created. We've got to understand these things better. Our culture is perishing in the midst of some very flawed ideas on business and entrepreneurship and how to care for the poor. I'll tell you more about that. Also, an update on the freelance services industries in just a few moments. When I say freelance service businesses, think Airbnb.com, Uber.com, Lyft.com, TaskRabbit.com. Have you ever heard of any of these websites? They're enabling people to get back to work in a very entrepreneurial sort of way. We'll tell you about that coming up in just moments. 877-933-2484. John is up next. John, thanks for holding. You're on Austin Hills Big World of Small Business. Hello. Hello, John.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with the way you're connecting the dots on this issue. And, you know, I do believe that there are a lot of high wages that are not justly earned, and I'll give you an example. I mean, we have our professional athletes that get what they get, and then they need us to buy them a stadium. I mean, don't you have a problem with that?
Oh, John, I'm glad there's another soul on this planet that actually thinks about that. I absolutely have a problem with that, but you're going in a different direction, and it makes a whole lot of sense. But go ahead. Yeah, I'm with you on that, but go ahead, sir.
Well, I guess that kind of was my point. I guess another question I'd like to ask is, they say that income distribution is growing broader here. Have the quality of the top people and the bottom people, has that changed, or is something else going on here?
I'm not sure what you mean, has the quality of the top people and the bottom people changed. What do you mean, the quality of the top people?
Okay, we have our CEOs that are, apparently they're getting more than the bottom people compared to years past, is what I'm understanding here.
I see.
And has the output of them, has that ratio changed?
I see.
Your laborers and your CEOs, or I mean, is there a correlation there to match this dollar amount?
Yeah, no. That's a very good question, and I think I can offer a tangible and a sensible answer to that. Just real quick, what part of northern Minnesota are you listening? Are you listening in?
It's between Crookston and Bemidji.
Okay, very good. Well, listen, first off, and I want to honor John's question or his comment, the first comment here. The reality is he's connecting the dots absolutely correctly. Our society pays enormous sums of wealth, enormous salaries to professional athletes. I never hear politicians get upset about the salaries of the professional athletes, by the way, or rock stars or recording artists or actors or whatever. That's a separate issue. But professional athletes make a lot of money, some of them at the top, the real top crust, so to speak. And John is correct that the money that generated to pay these enormous salaries is subsidized with our tax dollars. Find an NFL team, for example, and John, I'm going to step on all kinds of toes here because it's football season, but find an NFL team that is playing and makes its home in a fully privately funded stadium. It'll be very difficult to do. I'm sure there's one out there that exists that way, but politicians are fond of spending our tax dollars to build facilities so the NFL doesn't have to spend the money to build the facilities. The taxpayers take all the risk out of building the stadium, and that better enables the NFL to pay these outrageous salaries. So there is a sense, if we think logically and understand that A leads to B leads to C, if we think methodically about this, our tax dollars do, in some very bizarre and I think unjust way, subsidize the salaries of the professional athletes. So that's a legitimate beef that you have, sir. And I laughed, but I never talk about this on the program because most people don't even think about that, and they just think I'm weird because I do. But I'm glad you and I found each other, John, in northern Minnesota, and we're of like mind on this. Go ahead.
I think another thing that's undervalued is, you know, I'm in the ag business, so I see this firsthand. You know, I go to these implement dealers, and the mechanics, they're working till 8, 9, 10, 30 o'clock at night.
Yes, sir.
The salesmen and the uppers, they're all gone. I don't think we fully appreciate how hard some of these jobs we don't value work. Another example is my grandmother looking for a nursing home for her. They the nursing homes that we've checked on, they have room available, but they don't have the services to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not short on management. They're short on the people doing the grunt work. And I just think we gotta take a step back here and just be realistic here. If we have people pouring their lives into a job, we do have to pay them a living and a respectable salary.
And John, I'm with you on that, and I appreciate the call, sir, very much. Let me just respond to it. He's raising some very important issues here. John, I hope you'll call again on an upcoming episode of the program. Determining what a respectable salary is, I believe, best left to business owners and private companies. Okay. And John noted a whole bunch of inequities and injustices in our economy, and they're very legitimate. I'm not seeking to delegitimize them at all. But when we hear the chairperson of the U.S. Federal Reserve say, oh my goodness, we've got all these inequalities breaking out all over the place. The people at the upper 1% are doing well and other people are not doing well. Well, we also need to understand that our U.S. federal government and state governments during these last 5 years have intervened and redistributed and regulated the economy to a degree that we've never seen before in our lifetimes. So what I'm saying is that with more government regulation, less private management of companies, we've seen more inequality, apparently. That would be a very logical conclusion from Ms. Yellen's remarks, just taking them at face value. And when John says, hey, we've got CEOs with their salaries rising, but the entry-level workers in the company making less, whose job is that to fix? If it's a publicly traded company, the stockholders should be weighing in on that. And every publicly traded company has what is known as a board of directors. It is not Janet Yellen's job to fix it. It is not the governor of your state and his job to fix it. It's not the president's job to fix it. You don't like the way companies are treating employees. And there is a legitimate sense of injustice in that. Moral indignation, if you want to call it. You don't like the way a particular company is treating its workers. Start talking to the board of directors. How many of us own stocks or have money invested in companies through 401ks or whatever, and we have no idea who runs the company? Okay, we have more injustice and more inequality with more government fiddling with the economy and with legitimate problems with compensation and wages and such. We need to start talking to the board of directors. If you think the CEO of, you know, whatever company that you own stock in is making too much money, well, you're part owner in that business. Get through to the board of directors and tell them what you think. But we also, as I said earlier, and I think Christians have a very vital role to play in this. We need to, I think, lead in our country with this. We need to start understanding what creates jobs, where wealth comes from, how businesses operate, and how an economy is supposed to be structured. Because I will tell you, while there are income disparities at times brought about by injustice, there's also a very legitimate separation of wages and income adjustment, shall we say. There's a reason why somebody who sits as the CEO of a multi-billion dollar corporation is worthy of millions of dollars in salary every year. And if we focus on them having more money than us, well, that can take root and become a spiritual sickness, envy and jealousy. You want to change that. The best way to create better wages, create more businesses and let the businesses compete. If companies have to compete, because if I don't pay you X, well, somebody else will come along and pay you X plus and take you away. I better pay you more. That's how you grow the economy. That's how you grow wages, with a competitive economy. But the more we have politicians and regulations weighing in and cutting off competition and economic growth, the more we have stagnant wages with a select few doing well and those at the bottom not doing so well. Food for thought. John, thanks again for the call. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. More of your calls on the way. And when we come back, the private freelance services industry. It's taking hold in America. Church, wake up. It's good. I'll tell you about it next.
Hey, don't mind us. We're just talking about the most important part of the American economy. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. The economy is terrible and there's no work available? Well, apparently we didn't get the memo. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
The freelance services industry. Yes, this is a growing sector in our economy. What do we mean when we say the freelance services industry? Well, if you ever heard of the website Uber.com, U-B-E-R.com, or Lyft, L-Y-F-T.com. How about TaskRabbit.com or Airbnb.com? These are websites, yes, but put it this way. If you are able-bodied and you're kind of handy around the house, you know how to fix things, you're not opposed to getting your hands dirty and doing household chores, TaskRabbit.com may have opportunity for you. You might want to check out that website. There are people there who are searching, perhaps in your area, for somebody to come around the house and fix things or rake leaves, maybe do laundry, whatever it is. That's what TaskRabbit does. It actually connects people who are willing to do common household chores, nothing terribly technical, connects people who are willing to work on a per-project freelance basis with those who are willing to pay something for it. You negotiate the wage, you know, this project will pay me X number of dollars, and if everybody's in agreement, you do the deal. Now, do things ever go wrong with that? Yeah, sometimes. But that's what we call freelance services businesses or freelance services work. It's not being an employee. If you book a gig, so to speak, with TaskRabbit, you're not somebody else's employee. They're not going to pay for your health care. They're not going to pay you for sick leave or time off. You provide a service, you get a payment for the service. Same with Uber.com, although Uber is a ride-sharing industry. If you have a vehicle and you're willing to transport people from one side of the city to the other, we'll log on to Uber.com. They have a rigorous screening process, by the way, at Uber. But if you qualify, if you have a vehicle and you're willing to travel and you're insured, you're licensed, all that stuff, there are people in your area who are willing to pay you some sort of amount of money to transport them from point A to point B. Seems like really basic stuff. Seems like a great thing. I think that churches and pastors need to clue into this more effectively and start talking about it, especially with young people and even retirees, because more and more of us, whether we're on the young side of the spectrum or middle-aged or even in our elderly senior years, more and more of us are saying, you know what, I don't have adequate work, I don't have adequate income, how can I be productive and provide for myself? And this is kind of the most basic form of being a business owner, providing a product or a service and making some money in return. And this is something that can be beneficial to folks in our churches and our families and our communities if only we'd clue into it. Now, what could possibly go wrong here? Well, sometimes transactions go awry. And sometimes, in the case of Uber.com, you have some very powerful forces that don't like your existence, like, for example, the taxi cab industry. And a lot of taxi cab drivers and service providers are unionized, and their unions have powerful lobbies, and their lobbyists go and talk to politicians and try to ban or heavily restrict Uber.com. This is where it is incumbent upon all of us to understand who's making the rules in our economy and in our society. It's incumbent upon all of us to understand what's really at stake here, to appreciate other people's freedoms as well as our own, and to have a voice in these things. We've got info on the freelance services industry for you at austinsbigworld.com. Read up, check it out, and we'll talk about it more in a forthcoming episode. Thanks for listening. Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business, a production of Hill Communications, LLC. I am Austin Hill. Find me at austinsbigworld.com. Have a great week ahead. We'll see you next time. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast from Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. For more information about this, you can visit the Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business program page on myfaithradio.com.